Word of God tonight, please, and turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 3. Nehemiah, chapter number 3, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. I want you to keep your Bibles readily open. Tonight we'll be looking all through this chapter, and there's many things. For the sake of time, we won't read all of it, but I want to read the first verse and the last verse, and we're going to talk about everything in between, all right? The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 3, "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate, and they sanctified it, and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia, they sanctified it, unto the tower of Hananel." And then look at the last verse, verse 32. "And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and merchants." So we find in chapter 3, verse number 1, the sheep gate. And in chapter 3, verse 32, we find the sheep gate. And we see it all begins and ends there. And we're going to discuss the meaning of that in just a moment. But I want to preach tonight on this thought: getting the job done. Getting the job done. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask you to be with us. I need your help and your strength, your power and your unction. And I pray tonight that your will would be done. I pray this message would bring glory to thee. And Lord, would stir us up to do greater things for thee. Help our church to go forward. Help us to follow you. I pray that the Spirit of God would be real in every service and then in every servant of yours as we go out into this world. May others see Christ. Bless this service tonight. We give it to thee. I need you, Lord. I can't do this without you. Please empower me. And we'll thank you for what you do. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated tonight. We look at this book of Nehemiah and we see a lot of things going on. We see in chapter number 1 how Nehemiah's heard about the ruins and the walls of Jerusalem. The walls are in shambles, the gates are on fire. No doubt that this brought great sadness to the heart of Nehemiah. And his desire was to see the walls built. And people's been there for 15 years, 14 years, and nothing's been done. The temple's been restored, but the walls are still in shambles. The walls are still in ruins. Nehemiah has heard about it, and we see that he's prayed about it. Now he's went to it, we saw last week, and he looked at it. Then he told others of his vision. Now it's time to get the job done. Now it's time to work the things that God has placed in his heart. And he trusts the Lord, and he tells others his desire. And in chapter number 2, verse number 18, they respond by saying this: "Let us rise up and build." And tonight I want you to understand that this was not some simple task. This wasn't something that was going to be easy or easily done. It was something that was going to take a lot of effort. And it was going to take tireless hours, no doubt about it, with many battles and many obstacles. And they said, "We want to rise up and build. We want to do this. We want to get this done. Nehemiah, we're getting behind you. We're seeing what it is you're seeing, and we're wanting to get this job done, and we want to see the walls restored and the gates restored, and we want to see the city protected once again." So tonight, let's look at getting the job done. First of all, I want you to see the work. The work. Back in chapter number 2, verse number 18, the Bible says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Now, when we look at this, I want you to come to an understanding. The people realized that this was going to take some work. This wasn't going to be something that was easy to do. This was a large undertaking. It was going to be very difficult, and there were going to be a lot of things to do, a lot of hard work, a lot of sweat and labor, a lot of blood and tears, no doubt. And so when we begin to see all that was going on and all that needed to be happened, we realize that this was a big job. But they had to get the job done. There's a work to do. And when I think about the work that was needed there, I think about the work that we have to do today. And I realize it's not an easy job, but somebody's got to get the job done. Somebody's got to do what it takes, and it has to start with me, you know? I mean, that's how I feel. It's got to start with me. But let's look at the work tonight. Let's see some things about this. Here in Nehemiah chapter number 3, we find that there were 10 gates that are mentioned in chapter number 3 that has to be built back up. The gates are on fire, but the Bible teaches us, first of all, in verse number 1 and then verse number 32, we read of the sheep gate. And this is where the sheep, the meat that for sacrifice would be brought in. And it represents Christ on the cross as the Lamb of God that was slain. And so when you think about the sheep gate, I want you to think about the implications of it. It begins here and it ends here. It all begins with the Lord and it all ends with the Lord. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? So we see of these 10 gates, we see, first of all, this sheep gate. In verse number 3, we read about the fish gate. In verse number 6, we read about the old gate. In verse number 18, verse number 13, we read about the valley gate. In verse number 14, we read about the dung gate. In verse number 15, we read about the fountain gate. Then we go all the way down to verse number 26, and there we read about the water gate. And President Nixon wasn't alive at that time, all right? We go on in verse number 28. We see the horse gate, and then in verse number 29, the east gate, and in verse number 31, the Mifkat gate, the gate of Mifkat. So we understand there were 10 gates in this great city, in this great wall that needed to be built. There was work to do. There was a lot of work that needed to be done. It was not going to be simple. It was not going to be easy. It was not going to be snap your fingers and it is accomplished. There was work to do. But not only do we see that there were 10 gates, I want you to see there were 6 towers. We see in verse number 1, the Tower of Mia. In verse number 1, we see the Tower of Hananel. In verse number 11, we see the Tower of the Furnaces. Verse 25, the Bible says that there is the tower which lieth out from the king's house. And then in verse number 26, the tower that lieth out. Verse 27, we read of the great tower that lieth out. So we understand that there are towers that are going to be built into this wall. There are 10 gates. There are 6 towers. I'm telling you, there is a lot of work that needs to be done. But not only were there gates, not only were there towers, there were going to be corners in the wall. No doubt about that. There were going to be turns in the wall and the wall itself. So we understand that the work was a huge task, wasn't it? You know, Nehemiah said, I want to rebuild the wall. Let us build. You remember what he said to the king? He said, the king said, what's your problem? He said, I must go. I need to go that I may build it. And he goes into the city. He's there for 3 days. He takes time. He rests and he talks to the Lord and he recruits some men. And then at night he goes out. He gets a view of the gate. As he looks at the gate, he sees the ruins and his heart continues to be broken. But not only is his heart broken, this vision is getting stronger and stronger to him, and it's building up and it's building up, and now he's looking and he sees the work that needs to be done. And so he begins to tell the people there, and he says, look, we need to go out and build the walls again. And they said, let us rise up and build. And the Bible says, so they strengthened their hands for the good work. Now we think, boy, there must have been a job here. But when you start reading chapter number 3, I'm telling you, there was work. Anything worth doing takes work. It takes effort. You know, if it was easy, everybody would do it, right? But it wasn't easy. There was a lot of hard work. There were a lot of difficulties. Gates and towers and walls. But in order for the city to be protected from the enemy, the job had to be done. I think sometimes of the walls, the gates, and the towers, how they need to be repaired today. We see that the enemy is running rampant in the lives of people. Homes are destroyed. Lives are destroyed. Brother Mickey was just telling us tonight of a 13-year-old boy that didn't like the discipline that his father meted out to him. And in the middle of the night last night, just a few doors down from where Mickey lives, he went in and stabbed his father. His mother goes to call 911 and he stabbed his mother. What's happening? Pardon me, but our system has taught our people that it's all about me. And I want you to understand tonight, it's not all about who I am or who you are. It's all about who He is. And the walls that have been torn down and the gates that have been torn down and the ruins are around us. I'm not concerned. I have no fears of who our next president will be. And that may surprise you. I've talked a lot about it. I kid a whole lot about it. Do I have certain ones that I'd rather be over others? I don't really know in this one, to be honest with you. But I'll tell you this. Whoever it is, God's still on the throne. And God's still able. And tonight, this is what we need to understand. That we do this work for Him, and there is a job that needs to be done. I look at our city. I look at our state. I look at our nation. And I see the ruins. Do you see it? Do you realize that our Constitution, do you realize that our Declaration of Independence, do you realize that our laws were all based upon the things of God? Amen. And now, they say it's freedom from God. Mr. Huckabee made a statement in one of his things, you know, he said, we need to put God back in His place. And it caused a media uproar. A media uproar. You want to know why? Because this Christian nation is no longer Christian. The walls have been torn down. See, we had protective barriers up. You say, you mean we had a wall around our coast? No, but we had a Bible that we stood for, and we had a God that was real, and we had a faith in Him. And dear friends, we had the hand of God protecting our great country. And we've said no to God. Our education system has said no to God. Our government has said no to God. Our families have said no to God. And our children now don't know God. The walls are torn down. The gates are on fire. And I'm telling you, it's got to be built again. And somebody has to get the job done. And dear friends, it's not all on our shoulders, but we must do our part. We have to get the job done. We've got to see the reality of this and have an understanding. We've got to see the work. I think sometimes we walk around with our eyes closed to really what's going on. Sometimes I avoid the news because I don't want to hear. Sometimes I try to not pay attention to what I'm reading or what I'm hearing or what I'm thinking because I just don't want to see it. Because when I see it, I have a responsibility to do something about it. And to be honest with you, sometimes I don't know what to do. But there is a foundation that is steadfast and sure. There is a foundation that you can build upon, dear friends, that the winds may come and the floods may come and the storms may blow. And dear friends, it doesn't matter how hard they blow or how long they blow or how difficult or how deep the rain may rise. When you build upon that foundation, everything's going to be all right. So we need to begin to build the walls again on that foundation. The work's great. Sometimes I think we've waited too long. Sometimes I think maybe we're too far gone. Do you ever think that? But as long as God's God, there's still hope. And by the way, He'll never cease to be God. So there's a work to be done. You say, we're going to get it all done before He returns? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you one thing we ought to be doing. We ought to be busy working at it. We ought to be doing the job. If we don't get certain things done, we ought to be working at the job. Amen? We ought to strengthen our hands for this good work. We ought to decide we're going to put our hands to it. We're going to put some effort behind it. Look, I'm preaching to me tonight. I talk about the work. I think about the work. I see the work that needs to be done. And sometimes I just don't do it. That's not your fault. That's mine. But there's a work that needs to be done. The second thing I want you to see tonight are the workers. We see the work. But there's workers. If there's work to be done, somebody's got to do it, right? There's no doubt about that. If there's work to be done, you're not going to just blink your eyes and it appears. It's not that way. There's labor involved. And it takes workers to get this job done. Laborers. I love what the Bible says in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 9, the Bible says, For we are laborers together with God. When these folks made the declaration to rise up and build, I want you to know they didn't sit still and do nothing. They got busy. They did something about it. When we read chapter number 3, if we were to go down and just take the time, we're not going to take the time to read all this, but there are at least 35 individuals mentioned by name. There are at least 14 groups that are mentioned by name. Let's look at some of these workers tonight. They're from all walks of life. They're all kind, different kinds of people. We see, first of all, in verse number 1, we read of the high priest, the first one mentioned. This is the one, the very first one mentioned, and I have no doubt that Nehemiah placed this name first because pastors and preachers and those men that are called of God to such a great work should set the example and say, let us rise up and build. If your preacher didn't think it ought to be done tonight, then how would he ever expect you to think it ought to be done? You know? I know a lot of people just think, you know, it's just going to happen. But friends, it's got to start somewhere. And now I'm convinced I have to start. It has to be with me. Not only do we see the high priest and the priests with him, we see people that were not inhabitants of Jerusalem. As you go down and you could read throughout this, we understand there were rulers, those that were leaders in government. It'd be hard-pressed to find some leaders in government today that'd want to put their hand to this kind of work, wouldn't it? But there were leaders in government, the government of the city, or the government of the people, if you will, that needed to be done. And then there were the other priests. The Bible teaches us of tradesmen. This was merchants, the Bible says, the apothecaries, or if you want to, the druggists, the pharmacists, and goldsmiths. They all were putting their hand to the work. There were landowners. The Bible says in verse number 10, I want you to look with me if you will. The Bible says, next unto them repaired Jedaiah, the son of Haramath, even over against his house. He owned the land, didn't he? And so he put his hand to the work. In verse number 23, notice what the Bible says. And after him repaired Benjamin and Hashab over against their house, landowners. In verse number 28, the Bible teaches us from above the horse gate repaired the priest, everyone over against his house. Verse 29, after them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. So we see that some of the landowners were involved in putting their hand to the work. So who all's in this? The religious leaders? The government leaders, people that weren't a part of the land, people that actually owned land inside this city where the walls would be built. There were merchants that were a part of it. There were druggists, pharmacists that were a part of it. There were goldsmiths that were a part of it. I'm telling you, there were all different kinds of people. Verse number 30, the Bible says, after him repaired Hanani, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanum, the sixth son of Zalath, another piece. After him repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. In other words, a chamber does not represent something that you don't own, but something that you rent. So people that were renters in this place were putting their hand to the work. Hey, I want you to notice something else. Look with me in verse number 12. The Bible says, and next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. There were women involved in this work. Yes, it was hard labor. Yes, it was going to take effort. Yes, it was going to be a difficult task. But people from all walks of life were involved in this. People that owned businesses, people that owned homes, people that rented houses, people that worked in stores, men and women, people that were religious leaders, people that were governmental leaders. I'm telling you, they all got a hold of this vision of Nehemiah, and they put their hand to the work. They strengthened their hand to the work, and these were the workers that were going to get the job done. Tonight, if it's going to get done, it's not going to be through one or two of us. We all are going to have to put our hand to the work. We're all going to have to say, I've got to do my part. We all have to realize that it's not going to be easy. And there were people that were set up between the gates to do the portion here and the portion here and the portion here. And they were there to get the job done. It takes so many laborers. Tonight, I want you to think, if we think about this, let's just look at our city. What does Tampa need? I'm not talking about a new ball field, a new baseball stadium, new recreation center, a new Walmart. I'm saying, what does Tampa need? I'm not saying what does certain people want. What does Tampa need? They need the Lord. The walls have been torn down. The gates are on fire. Can the job get done by just one or two or a handful? Can it happen with just... Oh, I know with God all things are possible, right? But if you ever read the Bible, you're going to find out God chooses to use men to get His work done. To use mankind. He chooses to use people. And people, while we may be empowered by God, still have the limitations of flesh. There's only so much one person can do, or two people. By the way, I'm not so interested in just seeing our church get it done. I'd like to see all the fundamental churches around town get the job done. Like I said a few minutes ago, there are churches that they do things maybe differently than how we might do them, or pastors that certainly do things differently than how I may do it. That doesn't mean I'm against them or that they're against me, that we just do things differently, you know? Some of y'all comb your hair on the left side, some of you comb it on the right side, right? Honestly, anybody that's called of God, though, any preacher called of God is going to part his hair on the left, right? I used to hear you had to wear plastic rim glasses, wingtip shoes, you know, and part your hair a certain way, or you weren't called of God. And there were some people that actually believed that. There's still people that believe that stuff. But see, that's silliness. I look at some of these churches around town. Look. They're not going to do things the way we do, but God's given them a job to do. God's given us a job to do. Boy, if we'd have some good Bible-believing churches that just strengthen their hands, put their hands to the work, there's no telling what God might do in the city of Tampa. I pastor one church, right? I'm not concerned with telling the other churches what they need to do, but I am concerned with leading this church into what we need to do. And we've got to do the work. And it's going to take all of us. Do I expect everybody in this church to grab hold of the work? And no, I don't. We're going to read about there. Everybody wasn't interested in the work here. But I hope some of us will. Hope some of us will say this is a good work. and it needs to get done. The third thing I want you to see tonight, we've seen the work, we've seen the workers, now I want you to see the will. The will. In the New Testament, book of Philippians, the Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And this word will simply means desire. When we're walking with God, he puts the desire in our heart. And then not to will and to do, that's action. God puts a desire in our heart, and then he gives us the ability to do the work. I want you to take note of a couple of groups here that did not have the will. Not everybody's going to join in this battle, in this building, if you will. I could preach, as we used to say up in Tennessee, till the cows come home, and not everybody's going to get a hold of this vision. Not everybody's going to see what it is that we ought to be seeing. Not everybody's going to put their hand to the work. And there were some in this chapter that did not have the will, the desire to do. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 5. The Bible says, "And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord." They probably felt that this kind of work was beneath them. You know? I'm convinced there's people that go to church, they think the work of God is beneath them. That's just for the preachers. That's just for the deacons. That's just for these. You know, I have this. I own this. I drive this. I live here. I'm not going to dirty my hands. And there's people like that. It's one great thing about our church is we're common folk, right? We all know what it is to put your hand to the work. We have a lot of people in here that knows what work's all about. And some of our abilities aren't what they used to be, but we've been there and we've worked hard at certain things and we know what hard work's all about and we don't care to work hard. But these people didn't want to get their hands dirty. These nobles, the Bible says the nobles, they put not their necks to the work of the Lord. I want you to notice verse number 30. And I'm reading into this somewhat, but I think you'll understand. The Bible says, "And after him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zaleph." Another piece. Now when I read this, I wonder, where are the other five sons? They're not mentioned here. They were busy mentioning names, and when they put names in here, they always associated it with people, and for some reason, the sixth son, the Bible says, the sixth son of Zaleph was repairing another piece. Take note that not many that God had worked, that God did put in their heart. There were many that did have that will to do. We see some that didn't. These nobles, they said no. But there were some that God had worked in their heart both to will and to do. Verse number 20. The Bible says, "And after him, Barak, the son of Zabbai, earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest." I like what the Bible says. The Bible says he earnestly repaired. God was pointing him out. Here's a man that was full of zeal. I can imagine this. I used to work in a factory, and we had guys that could work circles around other people. You know? There were guys you knew when a job needed to be done, these were the ones that needed to be on the job because they were going to get the job done. And then inevitably in that same group of people, there was a couple of guys that I just absolutely hated to go out on a job with because they would do everything to try to get out of that job. I don't care about being around people like that. Honestly, I really, really don't. Here's a plant that was dependent on us to repair it. Sometimes processes that would mean millions of dollars. And they were too busy trying to find something to get out of the work that needs to be done. But there's nothing like being around somebody that doesn't care to work. There's a joy to that. There really is. When you know it's got to be accomplished, and you go out with somebody like that, and you know that you and that person are going to work together, it's a great thing. But boy, when you draw one of those other names and you think, it's going to be a fight. I have went out, and honestly, I've listened to people argue from 8 o'clock in the morning till after lunch, trying to get out of a job. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? I'm saying, well, what about, let's just do it, you know? We'd always have a lead man, and sometimes I'd be leading, sometimes they'd be leading. But if there's a job that needs to be done, somebody's got to do it, you know? And here's a man by the name of Barak who earnestly repaired, and he stood out. Nehemiah noticed him. He said he earnestly repaired. Verse number 30 again. Don't forget this one that we've already read about, Hanan. Here's somebody that God had worked in their heart both to will and to do. Don't forget him. He apparently didn't let peer pressure or family pressure get in the way. And I want to tell you, sometimes that's what happens. Family gets in the way. Oh, yeah. If I would have taken a vote in my family about moving to Tampa, Florida, then I'm going to tell you, I'm talking about the family that's still in Kingsport. We wouldn't be here. But see, I know it's just because they love me and I love them, but I had to do what God wanted me to do. And sometimes it's not always about just what we desire as far as just doing this, but God put in my heart a desire to be here. About a year later, God put in my wife's heart a desire to be here. I heard one preacher say she drug her heels all the way to Atlanta, Georgia. And then she finally pulled him in and said, I guess we're not stopping, you know. It was a tough time, you know. But here's Hanan. I don't know where his five brothers are, but I realize here's one that was working. The sixth brother was working. No doubt his other brothers probably laying around laughing. Look at him out there. Don't go out today. Look at verse number 4. I love this. Verse number 4. The Bible says, and next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. Now, go over to verse number 21. After him repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, another piece. He got his part done. He said, hey, you need some help over there? And he goes running over there, and he says, I've got mine done. Can I help you with yours? And he puts another piece together. Well, that's always exciting, isn't it? The will. We need to have put in our heart both the will and to do of His good pleasure. Notice verse number 5, the Tekoites. The Bible says, and next unto them, the Tekoites repaired. Verse number 27, the Bible says, and after them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower. So they did the same thing, didn't they? But look at this. These Tekoites, the Bible says, while they repaired, their nobles put not their necks to the work of our Lord. Even though their leaders weren't willing to put their necks to the work. They said, just because the leaders aren't doing it doesn't mean we're not going to do it. See the will? Do you see the will? Hey, there is a job that has to be done. God's given Nehemiah a vision, and other people have joined in on this vision. All that labor, dear friends, everybody that put their hand to the work, all of them were important to getting the job done. And some may stand out more than others, but it certainly doesn't make them more important. It doesn't make them more important. This job's real. We're to be laborers together with God, getting the work done. I want you to look with me in the New Testament to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. The Bible says, Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. This is an encouraging book. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, that doesn't mean that you work to be saved. That means the salvation that you have, work in it. Work out your own salvation. Live out your life. Live out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. When we have the desire and we do of His good pleasure, I want you to know, we'll not run in vain, we'll not labor in vain. But the Bible says we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because God worketh in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. If you're going to do the work, do it without murmurings, without disputings. There's always somebody that wants to murmur. There's always somebody that wants to dispute. If the work needs to be done, then we've got to do the work. Now I realize sometimes we put our hands to foolish work. I'm not so dumb as to think that everything that I want to get done is the greatest thing that needs to happen. Sometimes I just want to see something happen, you know? My dad always told me, he said, "Son, if you've always got something going on in the church, some project going on in the church, the people will stay interested." That's what my dad said. My dad's tight, you know, about certain things. But I found that out. When we were church before this, when we had something going on, there was always somebody that, "Man, can you believe that? I don't like the color. Boy, that what they always are doing, they're always changing something." You know what? But the majority of the church was like, "Boy, I love this. This is great. This has helped us. This has changed things." I like people that don't murmur and dispute. Now, I don't care for people voicing their opinion as long as you're not griping all the time. And everybody's got a right to say that. And sometimes your opinion will change how we do something. So please don't misunderstand me. And I'm saying that everything that what I say is final and it goes. You know, I'm a pastor, I lead the church, but I don't dictate to the church. I just lead the church, and I try to do what God wants us to do. What I believe God puts in my heart to do is what I try. But when God puts in our heart both to will and to do, we're going to do things without murmuring and disputing. We're going to realize that there's a work that needs to be done. And when we have the desire and we do of His good pleasure, we'll not run in vain. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And he said in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." May the Lord help us to get the job done. It's a job, isn't it? Do you see the walls? Do you see the gates? I'm not talking literally. Do you see the ruins of our city and of our nation? Can you not see it? I would be very afraid if you couldn't see it. I would think it would actually be a foolish statement to say you don't see it. We're not going to have to take a journey in the night to see it. All we got to do is walk outside the four walls of this building tonight. You don't have to go far to see the ruins, because the enemy has destroyed the gates, torn down the walls, And now our job is to build on the right foundation, to restore the walls, to restore the gates, build upon the right foundation, restore the towers, to put our hand to the work and say, okay, it's a big task. I'm sweating just thinking about it. Right? My back already aches just thinking about it. But you ever get into something and it's painstaking, but there's nothing like when you step back and you see the project completed. We was painting these walls. Y'all remember those of us that painted the walls? We had people down on their knees, up on their heads, up on ladders, trying to be meticulous because we don't like paint to run and get on things that's not supposed to be there. Because we wanted to do the very best we could, because this is the place that God has given us to come together to worship Him. And during that time, there was times it was like, whew, good night, is this ever going to be done? But then there was one night, I guess it's probably about midnight, we stepped back. And there was a big smile on everybody's face. We were going, ah, whew. And then Sunday morning, everybody came in. And they went, wow, this looks great. And it was then you realized it wasn't easy, but it sure was worth it. There was a sense of accomplishment that night when we looked, but when we heard the response, it just made you feel so good. And you thought, you know, we did that for the Lord. And I believe the Lord's pleased. There's a work. There's work. There's physically work here that needs to be done. There's physically work that needs to be done to this building. Spiritually, there's work that needs to be done in our lives, the lives of others. That's why we have people that only come on Sunday morning. Spiritually, there's a work that needs to be done. By the way, it's not just my job to try to get those people here more than Sunday morning. It is your job to encourage them, to bring them here. It's not just my job to visit people. It is your job to visit people. It's not just my job to go to the hospital when somebody's in the hospital. It is your responsibility. Do you understand that? It takes all of us. When you know somebody's there, when it's somebody you love and you care about, you should go too. I mean, I should go, but I'm saying I should go plus you should go. You know, if you know and you care, y'all ought to make a ministry of trying to help people and getting the job done. I look and I say, there's money. We need money to do some of the things that we need done. Well, I'm not in a hurry yet. When God wants us to do it, He'll give us the money. We've got the money to do it, but we're trying to be wise. And if we could grow just a little bit and meet our monthly needs, you know what? We could do a lot of this stuff, but we're not there yet, are we? We're not there. I understand that. But God's going to give it to us. God's going to give us more people. And God's going to allow us to get these things here. And we're going to be able to take this, because I'm convinced that God doesn't want us to have a big bank account. God wants us to be busy investing His money in Him. But He don't want us to be foolish and blow the money either. I understand that. But this is what I want you to see tonight. There's a job that needs to be done, not just physically, but spiritually, inside here and outside of here. And it's going to take you in your neighborhood, me in my neighborhood, us in our workplaces, to put our hands to the work. That's the only way. It wasn't one or two, was it? It wasn't just men. It wasn't just laborers, common laborers, merchantmen, pharmacists, goldsmiths, nobles, religious leaders, governmental leaders, takes all of us. Let's get the job done. Let's just say tonight, I'm going to do my part. And if I get mine done, I'm going to go help somebody else. But we're going to get the job done. And until Jesus comes, let's strengthen our hands for the good work. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. I ask you to have your will and way in this time of invitation. I pray that we would see a desire for people to say, yes, I want to do the job. I want to get the job done.